dedicated to all the hackers and the crackers.
To the hackers and the crackers.
I see in binary, I speak source code. Step on my toes, I'll post a million JPEGs of you in a fag pose. In your digital stance, getting firewalled ho. Cause I'm riding the net in my 6-4. I was a dick with my 56. Now with my cable, I'm able to get that stable. On the out, my name is Ace and I'm a Leo. On the digital highway, my name is Neo and I'm a hero. In a flash, I'll sue you on burning Dreamcast. You need some ISO? Let me through my hard drive rifle. Our exchange you could never stifle. In a digital hug, you just caught the love bug. I bootlegged your CD. I caused the fight between Un and Jay-Z. You see, G, it's all gonna be free. Whether we take it by force or we take it nicely. You feel that rattle in your bones? When I tell you we just hacked Dow Jones. And NASDAQ leaves you flat on your back. Cause I am he who loves to hack and crack. Cause I am he who loves to hack and crack.
This is dedicated to the hackers and the crackers. Serial code, source codes, ISOs, RANs, SIPs, SIPs. This is dedicated to the hackers and the crackers.
Penis. Welcome to Binary Revolution Radio, episode number 155. I am Stank Dog, and joining me this week on this Independence Day episode of Binary Revolution Radio is the one, the only, Jeroops on the phone with us.
Woohoo!
Woohoo! Penis, welcome to the next to the last episode of Season 3 of Binary Revolution Radio. Episode 155, 156 will be, if my math is right here, will be the last episode of Season 3, 52 weeks in a year times 3, so I think that should work out right. Even my country math will come close anyway.
You just gotta add the twos.
I'm not sure what we're going to do, quite honestly. And some people have read the forums will also know that we're going to be doing the first episode of Season 4. Kind of left a little teaser here the last couple episodes about that. There will be at least an episode 1 of Season 4. How's that for a teaser? And we will be presenting that first episode of Season 4 in front of a live studio audience at Hope Number 6 in New York City later this month. So the timing is a little bit off, admittedly, so we're going to do 155 today, and it really is July 4th. We're cutting this awfully close, and next week will be 156, and we're going to have a week where we're going to have to figure out what we're going to do. We purposely put it off an extra week to coincide with Hope, so maybe we'll do episode 2 of season 4 before we do episode 1 of season 4 at Hope. I don't know what we're going to do. Maybe we'll just play some porn music for the entire hour next in that week.
You could just play, like, stupid telephone recordings.
Yeah, hasn't that been done to death? Maybe we'll revive Freak Factor. Oh, no. Damn it. Did I say that out loud? Crap. All right, people are going to be on me about that one. Anyway, so this episode we're going to record. I don't know what kind of facilities they're going to give us at Hope. If they're going to be able to provide us with the recording of this so that we can stream it directly after, but we are planning on streaming it in our regular Tuesday time slot. For those of you who can't make it to New York City for the 6 Hope, or Hope Number 6, or 666, whatever it's called, for those of you who can't make it, we're going to try to air it in our regular Tuesday time slot, the 2 days delayed live in front of a studio audience episode. So hopefully we can get the recording from them quickly enough to do that. Otherwise, I don't know what we're going to do there either. So, penis.
Penis.
All right. So this week, however, we are going to move on with the July 4th Independence Day special. Droops and I, along with some other special guests.
Can we call it the July 4th celebration?
We can celebrate.
Sweet, because I'm celebrating myself.
I know you are. Why don't you tell the audience exactly how you're celebrating?
Well, I am in a place where there is no interweb and there's no cell phone service. And when I say no interweb, I mean none other than that dial-up crap.
Uh-huh.
And well, I'm drinking.
All right. There's the party. There's the party. Well, actually, that is very appropriate for this episode of the show, because being Independence Day, I thought that it might be a good topic to talk about today, independence from technology.
Ooh.
Well, and, yeah, I know, on a hacking show, independence
That's
from technology.
That's not the topic you told me we were talking about.
Penis?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I changed my mind at the last minute. No, I think that's the topic you wanted to talk about.
like them big, thick, and juicy.
Oh, man. All right, well, let's start raising property values again, shall we? let's see. Yeah, a hacking show talking about independence from technology. It seems kind of, what's the word there? Not correct. They don't seem to go together. So, yes and no. We're going to talk about just not having all your eggs in one basket. The old saying, the old cliche goes, not having too much dependence on any one technology or one thing or one form of connectivity, et cetera, et cetera. There's a whole lot more than just the global interweb and your cable modem. And a lot of people are sitting at home right now and they really think that that's the greatest thing in the world, but what happens when you lose that? So we're going to talk about some things along those lines for this episode and talk about alternative forms of technology and how we should at least be aware of them if we don't actually have them in use as backup plans in your day-to-day hacking or non-hacking activities. So, one of the first things I wanted to talk about is something Droop's just kind of touched on. He's out in the sticks away from his beloved... Well, you had DSL, right?
Yes, sir.
Yes, DSL, whereas I have the cable modem. Obviously, those are two of the more popular forms of connectivity, especially in the hacking circles where... Have to have speed. How old am I?
The cable modem.
The cable modem. Why?
It's like I have the television.
Oh, well.
No. It's just a cable modem.
A cable modem. What did I say? The cable modem?
Yes.
Well, it is. It's the only one
like
in existence.
Like the moving pictures.
It's the only cable modem ever created, and I have it. Singular.
They got the air conditioning over there.
And you can have it when you pry it out of my cold, dead fingers, too. But, that being said, I also have a modem. I always keep a modem around, specifically an external 56K modem, and I also have a good old-fashioned 9600 baud modem, just in case I can't get connectivity to a 56, which that, I have to admit, is pretty rare these days. Most of the phone company and most of the ISPs are at least using 56. So... just because you have cable modem and DSL, et cetera, and actually, this is probably a little bit off topic, but the differences between a cable modem and DSL, because I've had both, and quite frankly, I was happy with either one to a certain extent, but the cable modem generally gives you a little bit more bandwidth. How much bandwidth do you get on your DSL?
6 down.
You get 6, and I get, actually, they just bumped mine to 8, supposedly. Of course, I don't actually get 8.
So, mine's usually like 5.5.
Yeah, that's about what mine is, actually. So, pretty similar. The difference that really on my end that I like is the cable modem allows me to get away from the phone company, Bell South.
Yes, I would really enjoy that myself.
Exactly. So, to get the DSL line, you actually have to have a phone service with the phone company to get a DSL line. You can't get DSL only.
Didn't Quest unbundle theirs?
I don't know. I'm not in Quest territory.
I'm not certain. I know Bell South never will.
Oh, no, not Bell South.
I hate those fuckers.
Yep. We visited the Batman building down there in where was it, Nashville?
Urinated on it.
Yeah, buddy. Venus.
Not in it, not beside it, but just on it.
On it. Like, from the top? Or were you, like, suspended by a helicopter, or what?
No, just from the side.
Just from the side. Yeah, I think we all took turns on that one, didn't we? I think it was like a whole smorgasbord of urine. But anyway, stop lowering property values here, man. What the hell? All right. Well, there are, like I said...
if it's instances. Penis, it's got to be good.
There you go. There are instances where your cable is going to go down. Cable is certainly not the most reliable thing in the world. And your cable goes down or your DSL goes down. A lot of people are just SOL. I mean, for those of you listening right now, do you fall into those circumstances? Do you have a backup plan to get internet access?
I do.
If it goes out. Okay, well, one form of it is a cell phone with a data plan, or even without a data plan, truthfully. Now, do you have a data plan on your cell phone there, Droopy Dog?
No, sir, I sure do not.
Do you have it? Does your phone support it, even?
No.
Yeah, okay. So you're a little different there.
My phone still has an antenna that comes out of it.
Well, so it's like, so you have one of those phones that actually still gives you cancer of the brain.
Yes, I actually enjoy the cancer of the brain. It offsets the lung cancer.
That's why you drink so much.
Yeah. And liver cancer.
Everybody thinks you're a total alcoholic. You know that, right?
You know I'm not.
I know
but
you're
this
not.
This is like my eighth or ninth drink today.
Oh, well, that's nothing, you know.
I'm on vacation.
That's normal, isn't it? Oh, man. Well,
and it's not like I'm drinking hard liquor.
What are you drinking?
I'm drinking a mimosa, which is champagne and orange juice.
Oh,
it's pretty much the gayest drink I could find.
Wow. Wow, really? Well, I'm avoiding a big segue right now, so I'm going to get back on topic because our audience wants to hear tech talk, not your gay drinking stories. Let's talk about cell phones having data plan. Now, I have an unlimited data plan on my PDA phone, which I find very handy, but even if you don't, the plan I had before this, it was a phone that did not have, you know, it didn't have a whole lot of fancy features, but it did have a little web browser, and I could still browse the interweb, and I got charged per megabyte for downloaded stuff. So I had that option, and it was nice to always know that if there was an emergency, like I needed to check email or something that I was expecting from somebody and my power was out or whatever the case may be, the cable was down, I always had that option, even if I didn't have an unlimited data plan at the time. So that is one form. Another form, obviously, is or driving. You know, if your cable may be down, your neighbors might have a DSL line that they're sharing, willingly or otherwise. Of course, if they're not willingly sharing it, we're not telling anyone to do anything, of course, but I can't say that that's not a handy thing to have available. Now, where you're at, you can't do any. You don't have either one of those options, do you?
I sure do not.
But you do have dial-up as an option.
Well, I tell you, there's something that we're not talking about.
All right, what's that?
And a lot of your cable providers or your DSL providers will give you a dial-up account that you're allowed to use, like, an hour a month.
Right, yeah.
Or for something, and for when you travel. But you're still paying for Internet.
Right.
And you can't use your DSL when you're in a hotel. You know, that doesn't have Internet, which is hard to find.
Right.
But you still have that, you know, people don't realize they have a dial-up account that they can use.
Well, yeah, and a lot of people don't even realize with their DSL setup or whatever, they do create you a username and account. It's just that it's very invisible because it's that whole always-on technology. But technically, there is username and password going through there to authorize your access. So that same thing will certainly get you dial-up access. Very, very handy. That's a good point, Droopy.
Mm.
You need to keep drinking. You're coming up with some good stuff there.
I had a client a while back that was very concerned about that.
Yeah.
And I did some research into it, but I can't remember who was any good. But the cable provider also had a dial-up account.
Yeah, I know I had it with the DSL. I don't know that I have it with the cable. I don't think they have anything like that because they're not really in that business. But I digress. What about also, weren't we talking about WiMAX earlier?
We certainly were talking about WiMAX. And the where I'm in is a big valley.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's a lake and the hills around it.
Right.
And you could set up WiMAX, in theory. I don't think they've standardized it yet. But, like, it would serve this little area. And I had a really interesting conversation with Jason Scott a while back about WiMAX. And, as you know, he's really into BBSs and such like that.
Right.
And he feels that when WiMAX comes out, and it's affordable for people like me to set up WiMAX in my town, I can blanket my town with a Wi-Fi signal, and it'll be more like the old local BBSs, because we could have an area the whole town and just our little town could connect to.
That would be pretty cool.
And that would be really cool.
That would be pretty cool. Now, I'm not sure that I've ever heard anyone use interesting conversation and Jason Scott in the same sentence before. I'm just kidding, Jason. I'm just kidding. Calm down. Go check out Jason Scott and Seal doing a presentation at Hope, also in New York City, this upcoming week. Or, excuse me, 2 weeks? 2 weeks?
I don't know.
3 weeks?
I'm not going.
Yeah, you suck. Why aren't you going?
I fired my boss, and now I have to step up to the job.
You fired your boss? Something's backwards with that one.
Well, see, the cool thing is I owned him.
Okay, do you want to go into this on
the
radio?
I own the software, and I was paying for the co-location, and when he and I had a disagreement, I just turned the box off. And then he had no product at all. And he got a little upset.
A little?
Yeah. So we fired him.
Somehow this turned into the show and tell portion of the show. I'm not sure
how.
I'm not sure how we got there, but
I think it's the mimosa.
I think, yeah. I think you're drinking, and all the penis talk has gotten us kind of a little bit loopy here. So let's go back on topic for a little bit here, if we may. If we can there, Mr. Dog.
Certainly, sir.
What else did I want to talk about? Oh, actually, and kind of speaking of business-related things, data backup. A lot of people have one computer machine, and possibly only one hard drive in it, and that is very dangerous, especially if you've got all your important personal data on one hard drive. Businesses, obviously, it's much more important to them. They've got all their dating, all their data, all their accounting information, et cetera, or even their dating information could be there, all on one system. They usually are put a little more emphasis on backing data up, but for personal needs as well, it's very important to have some data redundancy. Copying your data, even if it's just your My Documents or your personal, like for example, I don't know, tax. Anybody uses Quicken or TurboTax or something like that, and that's where all of your financial data is, that's all you're doing, are you backing that up? Are you dependent on one hard drive, and if it dies, you're SOL? That's not a good idea. So I would say burn that off to CD every once in a while, put in a second hard drive and back it up, mirror it, whatever you want to do. Hard drives are so cheap nowadays.
Off-site backup.
Or off-site backup. Hell, even upload it if you have a website, you know, you can upload it to a website and you can get websites cheap out there. Encrypt it, of course, if it's really private personal data.
Well, I don't encrypt it. I'm using a security through obscurity.
Uh-huh.
I keep everything at infonomicon.org/droopsocks.
Is that DOCS?
Yes.
Okay, all lowercase?
Yeah.
Okay, got it. Yeah, nobody will ever figure that one out. Now you should put something there as a joke.
What are you talking about?
You should put like a bunch of like your receipts for all of your lap dances or something from last year's taxes on there.
Yeah, I don't keep my lap dance receipts, actually.
Oh, okay. Wow.
Back on topic there, buddy.
There you go. All right, so anyway, what would you do if you lost that information? How much, what about homework or other information that you can't replace? Work for work, source code or something that you're working on. I don't know, it could be anything. Make sure that you back that up. So that being said, let's move on to something else besides connectivity. Actually, kind of related to connectivity. I mentioned kind of earlier about cable modem, DSL, and how your cable's not the most reliable thing in the world. And if you are like me and you have a cable modem and you're using a VoIP service for your primary phone system, you might be in a little bit of trouble. And that's something our good friend Decoder has always talked and taught us about. So why don't we see what Decoder has to say on that topic? VoIP, or voice over IP, or voice over TV.
Voice over TV, more specifically.
More voice over TV. Because along the concept or the idea of being too dependent on any one company or one type of connectivity, like we were just talking about, you know, what about being too dependent on your cable company to provide your cable modem or your DSL, well, true, anything, your phone company to provide your DSL or whatever high speed it is if you're using VoIP, because basically you have one point of failure. You lose your cable, you lose your phone.
Or your power.
Or your power, actually, that's absolutely right. Which, here in Florida, we have that problem a lot. Electrical storms, hurricanes, bad weather, stuff like that, very common down here.
Godzillas.
I think that's Tokyo, but okay.
Anything near the water has Godzillas.
Oh, okay. Yeah, Godzillas, plural. I mean, they come out of the water like all the time.
That's what I'm saying, yeah.
Right. So, actually, and this is why we have you on, because I know you're a big proponent of good old-fashioned copper.
Yeah, well, you know, because it, I don't know, like, works.
Yeah, well, it works because, again, it's been in place for years and years and years. The the infrastructure exists, is reliable, and has been around for so long. But, you know, you still have the same, you know, potential for problem. I mean, if you do have a hurricane or earthquake or Godzilla's attack.
Let me tell you something. Like, the amount of times that a widespread area of telephone service has gone out in, like, the past, like, I don't know, fucking, let's just say 20 years.
You're right.
Not that often. It's not that often. Compared to how many times, like, your cell phone drops a call, compared to how many times the power has gone out for more than, like, a few hours, you know what I'm saying? I mean, come on.
Well, if the your local power can go out, but your phones still work, correct?
Yeah, well, of course, because the CO has its own fucking generator.
Exactly.
But what I'm saying is, like, I can't remember the last time that that landline service was interrupted in my area. I can't remember. And I live in New York, obviously. And I can't remember the last time it was interrupted. Oh, yeah, wait, I got it. 9/11. That's it.
Right. Well, and, you know, that's basically what I'm getting at is, even if the power goes out, your cable modem goes out, your phone company, would your DSL go out? I don't know.
You know, I don't use DSL because it's fucking stupid.
Well,
so I don't know.
Yeah, that honestly, it's a whole different topic. I think I've ranted about that before. If you have DSL and you're using VoIP, you're not really getting that much benefit. The big benefit of using VoIP is when you leave the phone company completely. Then you're saving a lot of money. If you're using DSL. If you're using DSL, at least down here, you're still required to maintain a phone line, bare minimum phone line, which is still going to cost you $20-something a month.
That's what I was just going to say.
It's ridiculous.
Up here with Verizon, you can't have DSL unless you have a phone line with them.
All right. So the big benefit is when you switch over to cable modem and
get the fuck rid of the phone company.
Exactly. Completely. Yeah. Now, however, for this topic of the show today and reducing your dependence on that. Well, I'm not going to say, you know, I don't want people to tell people that they should maintain a landline or a copper line with their phone company, which a lot of them are switching over to VoIP. So be careful that when you get a phone that you're not getting one of their VoIP plans.
Exactly.
You know, be careful about that. But exactly what you said earlier is what I wanted to focus on is the infrastructure is there, and that infrastructure meaning not only the cables that are pulled everywhere, but yes, even if the power goes out, like if the power goes out in this neighborhood, you know, somebody hits a pole out in the front of the whole neighborhood, and my phone will still work because there's still power at the CO.
Even if power goes out along, like when the last time there was a major blackout, which was the whole fucking Northeast and a lot of the a little bit of the Midwest was out.
Right.
What the fuck was that? 02.
Right. The next step is if the actual CO loses power.
Well, no, when that thing was going on, it was out for almost a day, and
but
my phone worked all the time.
Because?
Because it's fucking dope. Because the CO has its own generator, and that
exactly.
Shit is
on the grid. Exactly, yeah. And that's what I'm saying. So you always have that redundancy built in.
Unless
there. Because
you live in the sticks somewhere, and you have your own generator that isn't on the grid.
Well, yeah, that's a whole topic for later on in the show, possibly.
Yeah,
so yeah, it's not that you have to have, or am I saying that you should get a copper line? Although Dakota would probably say that.
Well, you don't have to have it with the incumbent telephone company. You could always, you know, get an alternate provider for your copper line.
So, again, if you live out in certain places, you might not have any alternate providers either.
Oh, you're just shit out of luck then, and nobody cares.
Yeah.
Move.
It's your own fault for living there.
Yeah, it's your own fault for living in fucking Timbuktu or West Bubble Flock or wherever the fuck you live.
Exactly. So, yeah, I mean, that's just it. But have a plan in place. Know the difference between VoIP and copper. And, I mean, make the decision. Like, Decoder, I think, has made it very public that he prefers the copper and goes with the copper line for the house. You're not a VoIP guy, right?
No, you know, VoIP has its uses. It's definitely fun to play with. It's nice to have. But, you know, as far as depending on something, like I would probably be more likely to say that you can depend on your copper line all the time. Like for all intents and purposes, it would go out like so infrequently, like once every 10 fucking years or something.
Right.
That you might as well consider that 100%. Yeah.
Well, and that's exactly. I'm glad you used the word dependent for our Independence Day show. Is that yes, you're not going to be so dependent on something that crashes much more frequently. I mean, VoIP goes out much more frequently than the copper line, no doubt about that. And I know on the show in the past, we've always spoken about the virtues of VoIP, and it is great as far as saving money, but there are costs associated with that. And in the...
Nobody's saying that you have to have the fucking super deluxe package on your copper line. You can get, like, the Lifeline service, you know. You can get whatever you fucking want, but the point is, it'll be there.
Right.
If you need it. You know, and depending on where you live, you might fucking need it. I mean, if you have a couple of payphones, like, outside your house, if those still exist, I'm not really sure if they're still around, but, if you have those, I mean, that right there, you may not need your own, like, personal line, because there's the phone if you need it.
Well, that's a perfect segue, because I know you don't have the notes, I didn't send them to you, but next thing on my list was that, yes, you don't have to have a second phone line of your own in place, just a plan in case something does happen, and one of those things to keep in mind is know where the local payphones are.
Yeah, you gotta know. I mean,
right,
it's just one of those things. If there's gonna be a point where you really need a phone, to know that there's a few payphones like two blocks away from you, and know which ones work and which ones don't, might save you in like an emergency situation. You know.
Yeah, absolutely. And all of you listening right now, very seriously, if you don't know where the closest payphone is, and yes, we've definitely talked about, you know, how they've been disappearing and how their phone companies are pulling them up all over the place. It's still know where the closest payphones are, so that if there is some sort of emergency or if you do need to communicate with people, that you do know at least where they are
and have test them
and have some quarters handy, right?
And test or a prepaid calling card and test them.
Good.
Make sure they
point.
Fucking work.
That is, you know what? I didn't think about that. You're a smart son of a bitch. You know that?
Well, because most of the
prepaid calling
area,
cards,
like a lot of them don't work. You know.
Yeah.
And especially if they're COCOTS, make sure that the thing has a dial tone and you can dial, but make sure people can hear you on the other end and shit like that.
Yep. Have that calling card handy. That will definitely come into play. Have that with you.
Because a lot of
times
the phone might work, it might do everything except except for take your money.
Yeah.
Well, that might become a problem.
And, you know, we could go down a whole other branch of discussion here, but we won't, about which calling cards are better and the differences, and some of them expire,
yeah.
So be careful. But
well, you know, a lot of times you got to watch out, at least for the, like, the little fucking, I use a lot of IDT phone cards and, like, the local ones that have local access numbers and 800 access, but they want you to use the local access. And a lot of times people don't know that those have surcharges on them. Like, if I use it today to call you, I talk to you for 5 minutes, and I put the thing in my pocket for a week, when I pull it out a week later, it might have had, like, a surcharge tacked on it every day and have no money on it.
Yeah, so...
My suggestion is to buy the smallest denomination possible and just have a fucking, like, brand new one in your pocket.
For that exact reason, for emergency use.
Yeah, an unused one. Don't use it if you're going to use it for emergency. And, yeah, some of them have expiration dates. You want to see when the thing actually expires.
Well, and go on to, you know, that's when you go to forums.binrev.com and check out the old school freaking forum. That's exactly the kind of discussion, among a lot of other stuff, that goes on there. And, you know, do some searching. And if you don't find your answer, post and discuss, you know, some of the calling cards and the differences and your experiences with them.
And some dickhead will fucking reply and tell you what to do.
Yeah, probably. Some jerk. Some jerk named Decoder or something like that. I don't know.
I don't post on your fucking forum, son.
Oh, shut up. You do, too. I just saw you post the other day, you liar.
I did not. What are you talking about?
Well, yeah, and you know what? Actually, I should pimp for a second. I should pimp out Yapple, too, the payphone list, so you can always
look that up.
But know your, go out and find your own local payphones and know where they exist. Don't depend on Yapple, because it's user-contributed, and if nobody in your area has contributed those payphones, obviously that's not much help for you. So go find your local ones, A, for the sake of knowing that they're there, and B, go home and put them in Yapple. You lazy bastards.
And make sure they fucking work.
Yeah. And actually, you know what? And another kind of... This is a good excuse to me, or a good reason, an excellent use of freaking skills in general. I mean, beige boxing and having... You know, being able to do things and understand and know how the phone system works, so that if something does happen inside of your house or your apartment complex...
You can save the fucking day and be a big goddamn hero.
Yeah. There you go.
Yeah.
Super freak. That's what you'd be.
That's what you would.
Super freak. Yeah, actually.
Sing, please.
Everybody loves it when I sing.
Yeah, well, they're just humoring you. We're trying to make you feel super good about
freak,
yourself.
Super freaky, super freaky. All right, so wow. Actually, I mentioned earlier about the hurricanes in Florida. Actually, I went through several hurricanes. For the last 2 years have been kind of busy hurricanes, especially last year. I got hit with three of them pretty hard, lost power every time, lost phone, interweb, et cetera, et cetera. I think the whole interweb got knocked out somehow, but maybe it was just me. But I was still able to communicate and function with people. And the cell phone towers got knocked out as well. I wasn't able to use my cell phone, which
expect your cell phone to work in an emergency, because trust me, it's the 9/11 theory. What will happen is, since everybody has a cell phone in their pocket, if it's something even like ridiculously small, like, oh my God, it's raining, fucking everybody and their fucking mother is going to pick up the cell phone, you know, to say, oh God damn it, it's fucking raining, make sure you close the windows on the fucking car,
right,
or fucking whatever, and it's just going to be clogged up, and nobody's going to be able to make a motherfucking call. Because believe me, as I was talking about that power outage in 2002, the big fucking power outage they had, the big blackout, cell phones were fucking no good. I called my man on his cell, and I just couldn't fucking get through to him. I had to actually get out of my house, walk down the block to his fucking house, and be like, yo, dude, your cell phone doesn't fucking work.
Well, I guess I assumed it was public knowledge, but maybe we should kind of mention that the cell phone towers, the cell phone companies, the way their system is designed is not to handle... It's designed on an aggregate thought, whereas they're assuming that X number of people could be using this system at any given time, an average number of people, and they know that there are peak times and non-peak times, which is how they design their plans. But they do not have...
In the neighborhood, you can't use the tower. It's like a run on a bank.
Right.
You know?
They're not designed. They have no capabilities. They do not have the capacity at any point in time, if everybody in a certain vicinity used their phone at the same time, which is exactly, you know, what you said, the 9/11 theory or any type of emergency, they do not have the capacity. They don't target for the maximum number of users. They target for an aggregate, an average number of users.
Unless you have one of those gets overrides on your cell phone, which I doubt anybody listening to this has.
Man.
But, it goes under the same theory as GETS, which is the Government Emergency Telecommunication System, the 710 area code.
Mm-hmm.
They do that for cell phones, too. I'm not exactly 100% sure right at this very second, sitting in my bed naked, how it works.
Right.
I haven't read about it for quite some time, and I, you know, wasn't really all that fucking enthralled with it. But it does, like, when you make the fucking phone call, somehow the cell tower knows that you're some important motherfucker, and it'll kick other people off to make your call. The one thing I do remember about it was one of my friends, who I guess for right now should remain nameless, did once, a couple of years ago, inform me about a trick with Nextel, which I'm not sure if it still works, but something about there being an emergency fucking bullshit thing inside your phone that you can reset, and that can give you power to knock people off the fucking tower if your tower's too busy. I don't know if that person ever listens to this and they know what I'm talking about. They know who they are. Maybe they'll post something about it in the forum. Maybe they'll find out if it still works. I know they don't use Nextel anymore, so who knows if they're really up on that. But there was a thing with Nextel where you could make yourself a priority call.
That would be a very interesting information, very useful.
Yeah, but I'm not going to give any of it up right now because, you know, I forget most of it.
Ah, there you go.
Yep.
Well, like I was saying, though, in the hurricanes in Florida, for example, you know, I lost my cell phone. Cell towers were all out. The regular old POTS lines, of course, I didn't have one at the time, but my cable went out and my power went out anyway. So I was SOL, and most people would be, which is exactly what the theme of this show is, the independence. Do you have alternate? Because, I mean, let's be honest here, the power going out and or the cable going out, both are not exactly rare occurrences. They're really not. So why are why are so many people not really prepared and don't know what to do? And it's like, oh no, the power's out. What do we do? You know, in Florida, it's a little bit more. People are a little bit more prepared because it happens so commonly. But for anyone listening who's not in Florida, you should always have some plans in place. For example, I had my little hand scanner, and I was able to listen to ham radio or emergency the emergency broadcasts and stuff, the weathers and stuff like that. So I was still able to get information. I was still able to... communicate is a really probably the poor word to use, because communicate infers two-way. I do not have a way to actually broadcast or send out information, but I was able to get and listen in on information. So I wasn't sitting there with my thumb up my ass waiting and wondering what the hell's going on and what's happening next. Is anybody restoring power? How bad is the hurricane? Et cetera, et cetera. So I have some things like that. My lack of power, phone, internet, prawn, all that good stuff did not stop me from actually functioning and still having information and staying calm and knowing exactly what was going on. Whereas a lot of people were sitting in the dark, huddled in a corner, wondering what the hell was going on. And that they crying. Some people really do, crying.
Yeah, but don't forget, as far as cell phones, even if you know the power is out and the cell tower is able to let you make a call,
mm-hmm.
like, what the fuck are you going to do when your battery runs out?
Well, I'll tell you what I did. Here's my tip. Went out and charged it in the car. Always have a car charger as your backup.
Yeah, I was going to say, yeah, you could charge it in the car, but what about motherfuckers who don't have cars?
Well, and more to the point, I mean, now you're talking about reliance on something else. You're not relying on electricity, you're relying on gasoline. You know, that's a whole nother topic that's not really, I think that's probably branching off too much, but, you know, or a lot of people also will have a generator, a small generator in their house to run, you know, just the bare minimum, just run the basic stuff at the house.
I don't know about where you live, but where I live, nobody has any of that shit.
Well, in Florida, it's a little bit more common. Yeah, majority of people, of course, still do not. But, you know, it's something to think of. It's, you know, it's a few $100, you put one out in the garage, you have it on hand in case of emergency, and I mean... Some people in Florida will fire up the generator and use it as an excuse to have a party. They'll fire up the generator and some lights. They'll sit there and drink.
Oh, yeah, no doubt.
You know, so, yeah, have a generator
if
you want.
As far as charging your cell phone, there's always those little things they sell at, like, CompUSA that charges your fucking battery. Like, they're used for, I don't know, if you go hiking and shit like that, or you're keeping your car for an emergency.
Right.
There used to be, like, a hand crank thing, if you remember that.
Yeah, they have emergency batteries even that are disposable, one-time use. Once the charge is out, you can throw them away. Which
that's what it was.
It seems kind of like a stupid idea until you think about, you know, would that be your emergency? Would that be for your backup? Just like, you know, I would also recommend to anybody. I know this is probably common sense, but I always have a drawer full of good, up-to-date, unused batteries. Yeah, that too. Batteries.
Good, up-to-date, used dildos.
Unused batteries for the dildos, see? You don't want to be caught without battery power.
I guess you're kind of a lightweight because my vibrator plugs in to the wall.
Your vibrator has a kickstart. What are you talking about?
My vibrator runs on a generator.
Your vibrator's got a kickstart and it's powered by ethanol.
Nice.
Anyway, all right, well, I think, you know, since I mentioned ham radio, I think I should probably get Jaga on the phone and talk about some ham radio stuff, because that's something else that, again, I found is always going on. It's always information being transmitted, and you can sit and listen in on it. You know, even without broadcasting, like I said, just listening will get you a lot of information. So, Decoder?
Monitoring.
Thank you for being on the show, my friend, and I will see you in a couple weeks in New York City.
Can I give a shout-out?
Absolutely.
I want to give a shout-out to my man, Run DM Nate. A.K.A. Jam Master Nate.
Got a shout-out, De La Nate.
Yeah, De La Nate, Grandmaster Nate.
All right.
That's my man right there.
All right.
I call him Nate LaRock.
Your shouts are duly noted, and let's talk to Jaga. I thought the best person to get on the show to talk about ham radio is my good friend Jaga, a.k.a. Lynn, calling in from the 404 tonight. And welcome to the show.
Good evening.
And we are going to talk about ham radio a little bit, since I kind of mentioned it earlier about how, you know, down here in Florida we have hurricanes, and how I used it to listen to the emergency frequencies and such, and how ham radio was still active even though cell towers and phone company electricity in general was gone, cable, et cetera, et cetera. So, I mean, ham radio is been around and been stable for a long time, right?
Well, I mean, you're talking about something that goes back really to before the FCC. I mean, you're talking about something that goes back to the experimenters, before you're talking about broadcasters, before radio stations, TV even, So you're talking about something that has a very long history of experimentation and, you know, if you will, hacking, so to speak. I mean, you know, there are people that were in their garage building spark gap generators that just blasted radio on all kinds of frequencies, and they talked to each other from street to street, you know, just a few years after Marconi figured out radio in general.
Well, and that's ironic that you mentioned the FCC, because how much limitations and how they're they've came about because of all this kind of stuff. So that's a topic for another time, though, I think.
Oh, yeah, I mean, that's a very in-depth conversation in and of itself. But just in general, to give you an idea, history, you're talking about something that goes back, to the beginning of the last century.
Well, obviously before the global interweb.
Yeah, just a little bit. Just I was even doing ham radio before I had even heard of the global internet, interweb, or whatever you want to call it. I mean, you know, I got involved with it in the mid-80s, and at that time, the internet was there, but your average person did not use it.
Well, your average person still doesn't use it.
No.
So,
but,
I mean,
your average techie even was not on the internet at that point. They were doing other things, ham radio and other types of experimentation and telephones and stuff like that. So, you know, this is something that goes back substantially further than that. And one of the things that's really interesting about it, I mean, definitely not to the beginning of the last century, but at least the last 50 years, if you were to go out and buy a radio today, it could talk to the radio of 50 years ago. Now,
well,
it might not be the
yeah.
most ideal format, but it's not like the difference between a 186 IBM and a Pentium 4, you know, however many gigahertz. I mean, the basic concept and protocols are still in place.
Well, yeah, I was going to say,
which
it's not
somewhat
like,
limiting.
Yeah, you're not mixing protocols, you're not mixing different communication. I mean, a frequency is a frequency all day long.
Yeah, you're either talking with AM, which is amplitude modulation, FM, frequency modulation, which is limited frequencies. You can use that on, not from a physical standpoint, but from a regulatory standpoint and a friendliness of bandwidth standpoint. And then you've got some modified versions of AM called single sideband, where you're only using part of the AM signal. And then you go down to the most basic of basic forms of communication, which is CW or Morse code. And, that goes back a long ways, although there have been substantial reductions in the requirements for that, and there's potentially going to be an even more substantial reduction in that. There's a potential for there to be an elimination entirely of the requirement for Morse code, which is in some ways is good, because there has been a downturn in the number of people that are getting ham radio licenses, and that's always been the major barrier, because it is a difficult thing to learn.
Yeah, but that's sad. Morse code is just a tradition, though. I would hate to lose that as a requirement. I understand why, but I mean that's just such a tradition.
Yeah, but the idea behind it is that it's not really used as much in a lot of the data modes, kind of replace it and don't require its use. But I mean, I think that at some level, for the highest class of license, I think there should be something. But really, the FCC, because of the World Radio Conference, eliminated the requirement for it globally. I think that it's very, very likely that in December there's going to be some kind of a ruling that eliminates it. Currently, you can get the most basic license without Morse code, and that allows you to talk on VHF frequencies and UHF frequencies in a local kind of a way.
All right, now that you're talking about the technician's license.
The no-code technician license, I think it might be good just to kind of go through what the current structure is. The current structure is there's a no-code technician's license. It's not an incredibly difficult test. If you're a technology person, I mean, my wife is not a technology person. She sat in on a one-day boot camp and passed at the end. Now, I will say she's smarter than the average bear, and I'm sticking to that story. and she is, no, truly a very smart individual. So you start with a no-code technician. Then to gain access to a limited amount of what we call HF frequencies or high-frequency, I guess HF frequency would be kind of like ATM machine. But anyway, HF would be high frequencies, and those would be ones that you could talk potentially across the United States or even across the oceans to other continents. To get the most basic version of that, you then take a 5-word-per-minute Morse code test, which is receive only, because it's actually easier to transmit Morse code than it is to receive it. In your head, at least to me, it was easier to transmit it than receive it. And then from there, you just take theory classes getting harder.
That kind of ties in, though, to the theme of what we're talking about today is the independence from a lot of this stuff and the ability to still communicate without some of these modern ways of doing it. And, like, I know we've talked on previous shows, and you and I have talked about some of the new internet car or some of the new computerized cards and digital technologies to kind of move that it's some of the ham radio is moving in that direction. However, I'm trying to kind of emphasize the fact, and that's why it's really sad with the Morse code, because no matter what, I mean, even it's kind of cliche at this point because you see it in the movies, people communicating with Morse code, but it does still work and it does still exist. And it going away is kind of like it's just a bad sign that we're losing a form of communication. So I understand that now we're only talking in regards to the requirement of it as a license. That's not to say that people aren't still going to know and use Morse code. You're always going to have that, you know, as an old, again, for lack of a better word, protocol or communications means that you do still have those options available.
I mean, it's the ultimate in binary communication. It's either on or it's off.
Absolutely.
It is the mother of all data forms, except it requires no computer whatsoever except your brain. You know, if you know the protocol, you know that the dot, you know what, how to make the letters with the dashes, and you can physically, if you're a sharp enough cookie and have enough MacGyver instincts, you can actually build a transmitter from a bunch of junk. Now, it may not be the cleanest transmitter and et cetera, et cetera, and the best thing with the best receiver and the highest output power and all this other stuff, but you can physically communicate like that. And, you know, personally, I'm not an enormous CW fan, but Morse code fan, but it is the most basic of basics, and I will tell you that nothing works better.
Well, and it also
bandwidth.
And it also translates across languages.
Oh, yeah. I mean,
so
definitely.
You break the language barrier. You can talk with people in other countries. They may not speak English, but they can translate and understand Morse code.
In general, yeah. I mean, you know, you're spelling English words,
right,
but there's also a lot of abbreviations and other things in there. I mean, you can definitely exchange call signs with people, and they would get the fact that you're in trouble. Now, one thing with the current license structure that I would like to throw out there is you were talking about emergency communications.
Right.
The FCC can and has declared emergency situations, and when those things happen, all bets are off on the licensing program. Okay? You're a no-code technician, and you're on some little island, and everything goes down.
Mm-hmm.
You can transmit on any ham radio frequency you want to with any power output you have available as long as it's under the maximum. And I don't think there's going to be little FCC guys jumping out from the bushes to write you a citation for any of that stuff.
I'm sure there's
exceptions. It's actually written in the rules that way. But that's very rare. But, you know, if you're in a situation like that, I mean, the thing about HF is, think of it as the beginnings of long-distance communications without wires. I mean, it's literally, you know, I can't guarantee that I can talk to you right now in Florida from Georgia, but I guarantee you that I can talk to somebody somewhere.
Right, right.
So it's not like a telephone.
Exactly.
I mean, you have to kind of get past the fact that it's not like a telephone, where I don't know that I can dial Stank Dog up. It's not like that.
Right, right. And that's exactly what we're talking
about. It is communications in a more basic form.
Yeah, it's exactly what we're talking about. It is an alternative form of communication that people need to know that's out there, and I wish more people actually did pursue it a little bit. So actually, let's follow up on what you kind of were just saying about not being sure that you could broadcast from, say, Atlanta to Florida, for example, but from Georgia to Florida. Let's back up from that a little bit. Let's say somebody is listening to this and they're like, you know what, it would be a good idea for me to have a backup form of communication, at least to listen. What would be the cheapest way, if somebody's listening right now and says, you know what, I should have an emergency scanner at my house, I should have a way to listen in on whether it's just emergency, like police, fire department, weather frequencies. I know you can buy a cheap one at I won't mention any store names, but a big retail discount stores, whatever you want to call them. You can buy them all day long, or actually a lot of different places. But what about like a scanner that'll have not only that, but will let you listen in on some of the ham frequency, some of the HF?
Well, HF is going to be more difficult because you're talking about, at that point, you're talking about a shortwave receiver that can pick up single sideband.
Okay, so tell us the layers.
They can decode single sideband. I mean, there will be some people on AM, but in general, those are going to be more people that tinker with older radios and things like that, and you're not going to really have the emergency communications on there. So what you're going to be looking for, and I'm not exactly sure the price range of it, but you're talking about something that's going to be able to receive single sideband, or what they sometimes call a BFO, which is called a beat frequency oscillator, for long-range communications. And at that point, when you're just talking about listening to something on HF, you're talking about a shortwave receiver, and the longer the piece of wire you can hang in the air, the better it's going to work.
Right. Antenna.
You know, now, when you're talking about something local, like a scanner, you're actually going to have a harder time listening to the police and the fire departments than you are ham radio, because unlike ham radio, they don't really want you to listen to anymore.
Well, lately, so especially.
They put up trunking systems that you might hear part of a conversation, but not even all of it, unless you have this grossly expensive trunk tracking scanner and all this other stuff. But to listen to ham radio, listen to a weather radio retransmissions by NOAA, you're talking about $100 brand new, less than that on eBay, particularly because the trunking stuff and the digital radio stuff has forced a lot of this older equipment onto the eBay market. But even like right now, I actually went back and to come up with just an example. The radio that I bought probably 13 years ago, which is an ICOM 735, I looked on eBay right now, and there's one. This is an HF radio with 100-watt output, $222 current bid.
Hmm.
So,
you said that was 13 years old.
That's 13 years old.
And just
it's
to prove,
work just fine.
Yeah, I was going to say, just to prove to our listeners, that's 13 years old and still works just as well today as it did 13 years ago.
Well, I have a tube radio that's a Yaesu FT-101, which is a very has a very long history of very many different models and iterations and everything else. Now, it's a tube output radio, which actually has better sound quality than the transistorized ones, personal opinion. But it was made, I think the first model was made before I was born. But this one is probably, 30 years old.
Yeah, you were born, 60, 65 years ago? Seven?
Yeah.
Seven?
No.
So, point being, that's just good reinforcement that what we were saying earlier about how the equipment and the protocols don't change, speed doesn't change per se. The same equipment can still be bought, found cheaply, for certain types of communications.
Yeah, I mean, granted, if you go down, I just looked on the one of the catalogs of one of the major ham radio online resellers, and they have an $11,000 HF radio. okay, that's a lot of money for HF radio. And granted, it's got every bell, every whistle, everything known to man on it.
Right.
But it still talks to the $200 radio you buy off of eBay.
Exactly. And you said there was a $100 one that maybe our listeners would be interested in on the low-end side of things?
Yeah, there's a scanner that's like $100 that you'd be able to receive local communications on VHF repeaters or UHF repeaters, those being short-range, VHF being very high-frequency, UHF being ultra-high-frequency.
Right. Now that's all that I have, and that's all that I use to listen to local weather and stuff like that, and that gets the job done.
That's going to be, you know, the easiest thing to hear about what's going on right where you are. Now, as far as listening to what's going on a lot farther away or what people are talking about, it actually kind of can cause some problems because somebody who's 100 miles away from you that's talking on HF, you may not be able to hear them. You can hear the person they're talking to, but you can't hear them. So it's, you know, it's not exactly like a telephone switchboard.
Right.
You know, but as far as you're dealing with something that it works, as long as there's not some major solar flare going on, it's going to work, and you're going to be able to talk to somebody somewhere.
Right. Now,
but it's not like a telephone, like you dial up, you know, 404 or 813 or 202 or 212. I mean, that's really not the way that it works.
Well, you're going to have to do some scanning.
You're going to have to understand that.
Right, and you're going to have to do some scanning.
You have to do a lot of listening. I mean, the key thing with ham radio is to do a lot more listening than you do talking, particularly at the beginning.
Right.
I mean, I got into it from listening to a scanner locally, and then I heard some stuff on HF, on AM, on a shortwave receiver that I had. And then I went and took the class and took the first test and took the second test and took the third test and then waited a long time and then took the last test.
Cool. Good stuff. All right, well, is there anything else we should mention before we go off here? Anything else comes to mind?
If you want to hear a longer discussion about ham radio and other versions of radio, myself,
Saturday,
Bernie S., and a couple other people will be giving a presentation at Hope at the ungodly hour of 10 a.m.
Oh, man, you're killing me. Want me to wake up in time for that?
I expect you to be there. Attendance will be taken.
I will be, absolutely, of course.
There will be no quiz at the end, but you can optionally find a local test, although we will not be prepping you for a test, just having a general discussion.
Good stuff. So, we will definitely get together at Hope Number 6. Is that what they're calling it this year? Hope Number 6. The sixth Hope.
And I'd also like to mention we're going to do a limited, if you have a ham radio license, bring your ham radio, HT or whatever. We're going to have a limited number of contacts we have secured from the FCC, a special event call sign of November 6 Hotel or Number 6 Hope.
Interesting. Who pulled that one off?
No.
All right, that's good. All right, so yeah, 10 o'clock Saturday, 10 a.m. Saturday in New York City. So be there.
In New York City.
And also Friday night at 11 o'clock, you will be able to hear Binary Revolution Radio, Season 4, Episode Number 1. We mentioned it at the top of the show, so your attendance will be mandatory for that one. Hopefully you'll come on the air for that episode
there
as well.
I will be there.
All right. Well, thank you for being on the show, Lynn, and we will move on and talk to our good friend, Mr. Parallel. As I said earlier, to talk about some survival skills, specifically some urban survival skills, I thought who better to have on the show than our good old, did I mention old, how old you are?
I'm not that old.
Old friend. Hey, listen, it's me. Am I allowed to call anybody old? I mean, let's be honest here.
Yeah, I think you're the older. Well, I'm older, but you're older than me.
Well, I'm not the oldest person on this episode of the show, just to throw that out there. Our previous...
Yeah, we know who's the oldest on the show.
Anyway, okay, so, Dual Parallel, welcome to the show.
What's up, Stank? Thank you for having me.
Oh, no, please. I love having you on the show. And actually, we've got some surprises in a few minutes, and actually surprise information from you coming up in a second. But for right now, let's stick with the theme of dependence, or independence, I should say, of technology. And and what to do if you don't have your comforts of home and your cable modem, et cetera, et cetera, and you have to, I don't know, hack on your feet, hack on the fly when you don't have things?
Yeah, this is a great topic. It's very apropos. I do a lot of traveling, so I deal with this a lot. Everywhere from going out to the middle of the boonies to going to, you know, the biggest metropolises on the planet.
Right.
I talk about surviving with little tech or lots of tech in an urban environment better than out in the boonies, just because I haven't done that much. But I've, you know, literally had, you know, a pack of Bull Booms and, you know, $1.06 for two Jack in the Box tacos to my name, you know, and still have to make phone calls. So that I can tell. You gonna go get it?
Yeah, I'll go get it.
All right, cool.
I got it.
All right. So we're in an urban environment right now.
It would sound like
it. But hopefully it didn't sound too bad. It stopped raining at least.
Okay.
So let's start with living without technology. Is that cool?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, so everyone close your eyes. Imagine let's say you don't even have a car. You've got your scooter, right? You're in a big city. Maybe you're from a suburban area or a small town, and you end up in a good sized city. Quite a few in the more and more people are going to be living in urban environments as the population grows and our world progresses. So this is going to be more and more feasible as time goes on. So you're in this big city. Maybe you've got a laptop. Maybe you don't. Maybe you've got a cell phone. Maybe you don't. What do you do? Do you need connectivity? Probably not. You know, you can, believe it or not, you can find a job, you can live, you can, I know this is, for this audience, this is horrible blasphemy. You can survive without a connection to the internet.
Well, no, that's exactly the theme of this episode of the show. And
right.
It's ironic that we're talking about that, but.
Yeah, well, and this is what I'm trying to, this is the point that I'm making, is that the first thing you need to do is to realize that you don't need that, right? It's a mindset, and I know, you know, some people say you're an idiot for even saying that. Some people say, well, you're an idiot for even you can live with that internet connection. But that's the first thing you have to do is to think differently. You can't go to Google for things now. You're going to have to be aware. You're going to have to think on your feet. You're going to have to find stuff on your own, right? You probably still need to communicate with people. You probably still need to be knowledgeable about the world around you. So how do you do that? One great resource is the newspaper, right? Your local rag. And you don't have to pay for it. You can find it free in many places. Go into Denny's, go into any coffee shop, right? Buy a cheap cup of Joe, and there's probably a paper laying around. So there's your free paper. You've got your want ads, you've got your news, you've got your porno classified, but I know you love to read Sting.
Absolutely.
So there's one great aspect. Also, phone calls. Long distance, maybe a little different. We'll cover that next. Local calls are real easy to find. Ask people, right? Just if you need to make a call, ask. There are a lot of people that have courtesy phones, dealerships, oil change places. Lots and lots of ways to get a free phone call. If you have a tone dialer, that'd be really nice, but I guess that's kind of getting away from not dealing with technology.
Right. And just to throw out something that I found that has all of the things you've mentioned, free papers, free courtesy phones, et cetera, is even if you're not staying there, most hotels offer those things.
Yeah, and that's...
Walk right in the lobby.
That's a good segue. We'll talk about... Let me talk about long distance real quick. You need to make a long distance call. Friends, of course. Friends can actually have a lot of things, you know. If you literally are in the street, friends are your best resource. Don't overstay welcome, for crying out loud, but you can... Right? But if you need a bite, if you need a place to stay, you know, you can go to Adrian Lamo and get your needs filled temporarily, but, you know, be cool. So, right, so you can pass it around.
Mm-hmm.
Long distance calls... you honestly, cell phones, if you're ever out in the boonies, anywhere, if you're ever in the shits and you need to make a call, have a, and I don't care. I don't care if people like, whatever. Have a freaking beige box. Have yourself a small phone that you can clip on to something with. Seriously.
Yep.
That is the best. When your cell phone doesn't work, there's a can somewhere where you can clip onto and make a call.
Yeah, absolutely. I mentioned that exact thing earlier about the beige boxing and just general freaking skills, which is absolutely what you're talking about. They come in handy.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Next, we'll use that segue. Hotels, they're great. If you can look the part, and it's not hard depending on the hotel, you can get, like you said, everything, including internet connectivity, all in a hotel lobby without staying there. You can BS if they call you out. So you're good for that way.
Free breakfast.
Yeah.
Free wireless.
You have the balls, go through the breakfast. Exactly.
Hey, listen, most hotels.
Where is that?
No, I was saying most hotels, as you well are aware, there's so many people there, they can't really keep track of every single one of them. Most people probably would not call you out. Go to their free breakfast that they offer. They usually offer a free paper, or if they don't, there are papers laying around from the business people from the day.
Oh, yeah.
Some of them
absolutely
offer.
Absolutely. And also, you know, again, don't go in with your Mohawk bully spike. You know, if you can, you know, be white, you know what I'm saying? Just kind of roll in and, you know, You can get in and out without even seeing a hotel personnel. Definitely, looking the part helps. You can do, it's amazing what you can do with a tie. Oh my God, it's amazing what you can do with a tie. continuing with food, a lot of bakeries, right? Even like a coffee shop I go to, at a certain hour, they'll start slashing prices on their perishable goods, right? Their baked goods, they'll just, you know, there'll be nothing, you know. You'll go in, okay, this will be 50 cents, you know, you can get a croissant or, I don't know, whatever, to a big eclair, I don't know. You can always look for deals like that. You don't even have to. Friends also help in the food industry, but if you don't have friends, even like sweet pin somebody late at night, you know, closing time at the pizza joint or fast food joint, you can always get free food, or real good deals. You know, you give them two tacos and they'll give you all the hamburgers they got left over. That works. I've done it lots of times. There's a great, it's a PDF book, and I can't remember what it's called. I think it's called Rough Living, and if I may give a shout-out to Archangel, my brother in the Great White North, he put me onto it, and it's a great read, real easy read, and it's a PDF, and it's an electronic book, and it's about this guy who basically lives on the streets. He chooses to. He seems intelligent enough. And he talks about great ways to survive. A lot of them are probably a little rougher than anyone, you know, than would need to be if you've got any type of resources. But it is a great resource for a resource scarce environment.
Well, and that's another good point, and that might be a good segue into the next thing I kind of wanted to talk about. And that's a little bit more general survival skills. And it's ironic in this subject that we're talking about independence from technology on a show that's generally all about technology and hacking. First of all, that's ironic in and of itself.
Yeah.
Secondly, exactly what you just mentioned, that this is a PDF, an e-book, but the use of technology now, while you do have access to it and while you do have it available, playing games, there's nothing wrong with playing some games, but if you can find some useful information, especially that will help you pick up and learn those survival skills, it's very ironic that you can use the global interweb to find such information that you'll be able to then use later on if the need arises.
Very good point. If you've got the resources now, use them to better yourself, so if you're ever in that situation, you can do that. Honestly, I can't stand camping and all that outdoors crap. F it, man. I want concrete under my feet, okay? But if I can know how to use Google to search the internet, right, and find this PDF and read it in my library, you know. So if I have hit the skids, then I'll be, you know, I'll be prepared. I'll be that much, you know, that much better for that situation. If I may, Stank.
Certainly.
Having a knife, no matter where you are or what you're doing, is a great, great idea.
Unless you're getting on an airplane.
Well, you can always check it. If you can't check a bag, you can always check that. But, yeah, don't take it in the airport. But having a good knife, a good blade, you know, spend the money. It's a tool, right?
Absolutely.
It could be used for self-defense. But if you need to strip wires for whatever reason, you've got it. Definitely with serration, something that's easy to sharpen. Definitely, if you can have a blade handy at all times, I do. I don't have mine now, so I just flew today, but I feel naked without it. So, I guess, actually go into too much, like, how to find technology without tech, you know what I mean? Because that was the section of how to deal without it, I guess.
Right.
And I guess mostly without internet connectivity.
I think that's some good advice in there.
You think so?
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, good. And believe me, these work, by the way. Also, public transit rocks. Oh, my God, I wish I lived in somewhere, you know, in a town, in a city, where they actually had some semblance of civic planning, and we had a wonderful public transit system, but I don't. We're cursed with these horrible, sham of society that is the automobile. public transit owns... where I live, there's Wi-Fi on the buses, okay?
Mm.
So that's one plus. But just using it and using it wisely, I'm sure everybody knows about the old transfer trick, right? You get your transfer and then you just kind of wave it in the guy's face and you get on, you know, all day long. You can ride all day with, you know, one transfer. It works great. you know, that's not advocating stealing, is it? I mean, I'm just saying, you know, be...
That's using the system. That's his job to check the tickets, right?
That's right, exactly. So use public transit. It's cool. I actually enjoy it more so than driving. So I guess that's the whole getting around and living in, what was it, 10 minutes without technology, without internet connectivity mostly.
Yeah.
And you still make phone calls.
Well, and just, I think, a good closing statement, and I think you'll completely agree with me on this, I'm pretty sure, is... And it kind of goes back to what we both just said, is use the access that you have right now and do that research and find out how to live on your own, how to survive without the same connectivity that you've grown very accustomed to and reliant and dependent on right now, because, and this is, I think you'll agree with me here, you never know when it's going to go away.
That's right, absolutely.
Could be any millions, dozens of reasons, whether it's financial, whether it's... I mean, gosh, I could go into a huge list. And there could be any number of reasons to an alien Armageddon.
Yes, actually, because that's actually going to happen. I'm glad you brought that up. There's going to be an alien invasion. They're going to have a massive EMP pulse that's going to envelop Earth, and every electronic device will be inoperable. So start learning this stuff now, everyone.
Yeah, where will you be? You know, oh, you know what else? You know who we should be pimping right now? Neither one of us. We should be ashamed of ourselves.
What?
Sean Kennedy.
Yeah, this is very SKTFM-esque.
Oh, I can't believe we didn't.
Yeah, listen, you know what? Watch it, and his show, I tell you what, the patrolling with Sean Kennedy is great. That is entertainment, my friends. The radio show's good. Personally, if you're gonna use some bandwidth, grab Patrolling with Sean Kennedy. That is some good stuff to watch.
Good stuff. All right, well.
Our surprise is not here right now. You know what? I can go. You know what? This is going to be an adventure right now because you never know what's going to happen. So if you can hang with me for a moment, we're going to go on an adventure.
All right.
Because surprise is for some reason not here. I don't know what the deal is. So we're getting out. I got the keys. We're going to lock it.
A little urban exploration live on the radio.
Sort of, yeah. We got to find the surprise because I thought it'd be quick, but it wasn't. So.
Well, that's what you get.
I don't even see it. There he is. He's at the counter.
Our surprise, of course, is another co-host
right
here.
Now.
Okay, this is... I don't know, we've already done the segment, and you're up next. What's going on?
In like 50 minutes.
Yeah, seriously.
Give me your phone.
Here, all right, here's the press.
All right.
All right, so our surprise on this episode is none other than Bland Inquisitor himself, or for old time's sake, the Bland Inquizzle Nipple.
Oh, push
in the Oh, so we're talking about survival skills. First of all, welcome back for being on the show for
Thank
a long
you.
Time. I'm sure everybody likes to hear from you once in a while. But specifically, we're talking about some survival skills. Duel talked about some urban survival skills and stuff, but I wanted to talk to you because I know, because we've known each other for a while, and I was pretty sure that you and I have one thing in common, that we were both in the Boy Scouts when we were younger. Is that true?
Hell, you tend to foot represent, bitch.
I don't think the Boy Scouts were all that gangster as I remember them, but sure, we'll go with that.
They were in South Dallas.
Oh, all right. Well, yeah, I guess it depends on where, if you're the Scouts in the Hood Scouts or something.
Yeah.
But no, but seriously, we talked about some urban survival skills, but I also, you know, want to point out that general, normal survival skills are also something very important to have. If you lose technology, if you lose access, you don't have the global interweb, etc., your PlayStation blows up, whatever the case may be, or the alien Armageddon that Duel just mentioned a minute ago, have those survival skills. And I think the Boy Scouts, and maybe you can verify this or confirm this, is you learn a lot of those survival skills even when you're younger.
Sure. And, you know, that's this is something, you know, to take it to the old school, way back in the way back, you know,
mm-hmm.
when you know, you were using web crawler to look for hacking sites, you know,
mm-hmm.
It would always be HPAV, you know, S, and there was always that element, the survivalist people were always in there, the anarchy people were always in there.
Yep.
And so it's something that's deep in the community, since of being able to start fire without matches, you know, to be able to survive on your own, to be reliant on no one but yourself. Certainly it's something that we all did for our education, especially as the scene or the community or whatever you want to call it, the skill set, the life of being, you know, hacks or that's something that we did ourselves on largely, and it falls right in to be able to rely on no one but yourself for your own survival.
Absolutely.
If the shit jumps off or if the zombie revolution comes or whatever happens,
right?
That no matter what goes down, is that we'll be the people that live to repopulate the earth. I mean, hacker is the beginning of, you know, the cyborg, and the cyborg is the next, you know, step in the evolutionary ladder of Homo sapiens, so...
Wow. Wow, that's a pretty big leap there. That's a pretty big leap.
Well, you know.
You know, do what you got to do, right? Well, and you know, yeah. Making fire, you talked about, that's something you learn about in the Scouts. Cooking,
sure.
Tying knot, first aid. First aid is something that you're definitely kind of, you know, in the coming zombie invasion, as you said. And your skills, your PlayStation.
That's really important.
Yeah, your Xbox and PlayStation zombie shooting skills may come into play.
Right, yeah, that's practice and training. It's like The Last Starfighter, man.
There you, oh, man, what a great movie. Oh, I got to watch that tonight now. Why'd you have to stick that in my head?
It's lead shit.
Yeah. And you know, hunting and fishing. And Duel kind of made a joke earlier that he wasn't really into the whole camping and out in the tent in the woods and stuff. But I'm kind of into that. I enjoy that kind of thing. And you learn a lot of skills out there that, hey, you never know. I mean, I know we're just joking about this kind of stuff, but you never know when something might happen. You really don't. I mean, there was a huge power outage in California not too long ago with, was it Enron, that whole, what was the company out there that lost all their power? What the hell?
Well, there was just a big-ass thunderstrike.
And you got
Duel just owned me. That sucked real bad.
Well, we're going to leave that in the show for the listeners then.
Oh, my bad.
Oh, man.
I just shit in my pants.
I was going to say, do you need to clean yourself up now?
What's that?
I said, do you need to clean yourself up now?
Yeah, fortunately I got the leather interior, so we just take it to a car wash and just spray it right off.
Ah, there you go. Just go through the car wash with the windows down.
Yeah, the sunroof open. We'll be squared away. It'll be all right.
You're good.
But
well,
yeah, I mean everything. Really, everything is training if you'll let it be. Everything. You have to assume that one day shit's going to go south badly and for keeps.
Yep.
And so, you know, it's better to learn now.
actually take care of yourself. Because the problem, you know, it's the Tyler Durden syndrome. We've got no great war. We're the middle children of history. We're the bastard sons of the founding fathers. And so we're all a bunch of pussies. You know, it would do you good to walk around without your shirt on every now and again, and it would serve you well to put down the goddamn Xbox controllers and go take a walk every now and again. You know, it would do you well to save up a bunch of money and fucking just go walk around Tokyo with no plans and not learn the language.
Well,
what me and Dude are doing tomorrow, you know what I mean?
I was gonna
just go and fucking do and learn fucking do for yourself and stop being such a goddamn titty baby.
There you go. Well, that's a good segue, because that's how I was gonna kind of close out of this, is pimp the fact that you and Mr. Parallel are going to be taking a very interesting trip.
Oh, yes. We're going to go bump around Tokyo tomorrow.
I'm so jealous.
Yeah, it's going to be hot. The squeeze is the best shit ever.
Yeah, I'm so jealous of that. And you are going to get lots of good pictures, and are you going to do some blogging of what's going on there, too, or...
Yeah, you can catch it at Sibian.com. No, I'm just kidding. Tokyo.duelsandnoob.com. We're going to both put some audio, no video, because we're not taking the tag. Shitloads of pictures, just everything, all the media and multimedia that we can come up with. We'll be putting it up there nightly from ill-gotten. from however the fuck we can get net access, I'll say that.
Well, you use those urban survival skills to do what you gotta do in Tokyo.
Exactly.
And make sure you come back and tell us the stories of exactly how it went and what kind of cool stuff you found, because it's a whole different society, as I'm sure you're well aware, and that's what you're looking forward to. And that's why I'm freaking jealous as hell. But your goal, of course, you're going over there, first of all, to find the chick that goes, arf, arf, 911 information. Okay, that's your... that's your number one goal. Your number two goal, of course, and you know, I mean this in all seriousness. Good luck with the Bukkake film. I really want you guys, I want you to be successful. I want you to make a lot of money on this. So I want, you know, I want you to go over there. I want you to concentrate, store up. So don't, you know, get yourself all backed up so that when it comes Bukkake time, you can deliver. Okay.
We've been eating lots of, we've been feeding each other spaghetti like Lady and the Tramp and shit. And so when it comes time for us to blow our nuts over some Asian 19-year-old, you know, down there, we can do that with skill and expediency.
And buy some schoolgirl panties out of a vending machine.
Yeah, you're definitely going to need to look for some of those coming to you in the mail, because as soon as we find the mythical panty machine, we're probably going to clean the fucker out.
You guys are going to go max out your credit cards buying panties out of a vending machine. Oh, shit. I'm going to be scared. If I see a package that comes from Tokyo, I'm going to be scared to open it. I'll probably...
It has a little bit like you, sushi.
Oh, I'm probably going to get like something like fucking panty SARS or some shit like that. I mean, fucking... I mean...
You're going to get the flu coochie variant.
Oh, shit, man. All right. Well, anyway, let's close up on that note. You guys have a good time.
I would like to close on coochie flu.
There you go. The coochie flu is always good stuff. Oh man. All right. Well, we are going to move on and talk about a couple other things and do a little bit of email. But definitely thanks to Mr. Dual Parallel and Mr. Bland Inquisitor, both alive and kicking. So it's good to have you guys on the show. And of course, we talk off the show as well, but I'm sure a lot of people like hearing from you guys, so let them know that you're okay, enjoy Tokyo, and we will talk to you guys later.
All right, thanks a lot.
Talk to you later.
Alrighty.
All right, so Penis is back, Droops is back on the show.
Sweet.
And, this has been kind of a fun show with lots of different people on this time, but some very, very... very, very fun topic, as it turned out. I didn't think it was going to be so off the wall, but it turned out pretty fun. Before we completely leave out of this, we're kind of talking about survival skills, urban survival. We kind of talked about even, you know, roughing it if the need be. And that's kind of what you're going to be doing. You've got something coming up there in Mississippi sometime soon, right?
Well, not anytime soon, but yes, certainly something coming up.
Well, when I say soon, it's next year, right?
It's not this year, but next year, around Thanksgiving, we're going to have HayCon.
HayCon.
And it's going to be a HackerCon out in the field.
Thus the name
makes no sense.
Is that what the Hay comes from, or is Hay an acronym for something?
No, No, I'm going to be making a little bed on some hay and camping out.
Oh, okay.
But we're trying to find a barn, but we're going to have a HackerCon with no technology of sorts, where it's all about the mindset of the hacker, not the actual computers. I mean, no one uses their computer when they go to a con anyway.
Yeah, right.
Well, unless you're presenting, and then just bring it on a disc. But we're going to have people camping out. There's not going to be any admission charges. Just get your stuff to Mississippi and see what we can come up with.
All right, sounds good. And you said that's sometime next year, around when?
Thanksgiving.
So HayCon, BarnCon, whatever it ends up being, you will keep us informed of that, I'm sure.
Oh, yeah, and it's haycon.info.
Really? Have you already got that registered? Or?
Oh, yeah, buddy.
Oh, cool. All right, good deal.
Don't say a domain name that you're not registered.
Oh, exactly. well, we do sometimes, but because we don't care. But anyway, I guess to summarize the whole flow or main topic today is that, yes, we're hackers. We're closely in tune with technology and all that kind of stuff, but don't lose sight of the real world. It's out there. It exists, and you better be able to adapt and deal with it when change happens, which it inevitably does. So we can reduce our dependence on a lot of things, on some things, and have emergency backup plans ready, et cetera, or just preparation for change being the right state of mind. Now, normally we would go on to some email here, but quite honestly, we don't have any time. We had such a full show this time. I want to at least mention that I got an email from Lentium, who pointed out that I've been having some problems with the audio. No one else has told me this, but basically I had forgotten to change a setting in Audacity. I just installed it on this new box when I took over for Ratchet, when he took his little hiatus there, so I didn't even notice it, didn't pay attention. I was just throwing the stuff on the box to get it going. So, Lentium, thank you for pointing that out. Hopefully you'll notice a difference in this episode.
What setting is it?
The audio on the normalization, I had it set to -3 decibels box check, so simply unchecking the box took care of it. It was a little bit off-center, so to speak.
Good deal.
So, thank you for that, Lentium. And other than that, let's close out the show with some shouts. I've actually got quite a few, so why don't you start off the shouts this week, Droopy?
I just want to shout out to all the Info Crew.
The Info Crew. Is that crew with like a K, like Crush Groove Crew, or?
Yes, it's
all right.
K with a crew.
Gotcha. Well, I have to give shout outs to the gang down in Houston, the Houston 2600/BenRev meeting, whatever they are. They just meet like every week, and they were really cool guys, and I was down there recently, and they were very accommodating and welcoming to me, and I appreciate that. So big, big shouts to all those guys. And to the BR843 meeting in Myrtle Beach, South Carolina, who had a huge first meeting, from what I heard. Pretty good turnout for that, so good luck with that, guys, and let me know if there's anything I can do to help out. And I have to give shouts to Iron Geek, who sent in an email, a lot of information about Vista. I was hoping to get him on that Vista episode, and we didn't get the timing worked out. But shouts to him. He did send me an email with a lot of good Vista information. Unfortunately, we didn't have time to do it this week. So maybe we'll do a part two of that Vista Beta 2 review sometime soon and maybe get him on. Site of the week this week is, as we kind of mentioned earlier, it's Tokyo, T-O-K-Y-O, dualisanoob.com. Dualisanoob.com. And by the time you're listening to this, the fireworks are settling down and Dual Parallel and Bland Inquisitor are on their way to Japan first thing in the morning, so keep up with their blog and they'll let you know what's going on. If you have any feedback of any kind, or you like us just randomly shouting out penis during the show, whatever works, send us email to radio@benrev.com. Closing music this week is from Jesse Dangerously. It's a track called Outfoxed that I like, so that's going to do it. Droops, anything else in the closing part of the show here you wanted to bring up?
You got it, buddy.
Penis?
Penis.
See you guys next week. Same hack time.
Same hack channel. We don't wanna hurt nobody.
just might break my nose, break boom, breaking old. If my base of nature takes control, I hate to make the bad situation worse. Cause your friend don't give a shit, your ass was facing first. Have the doctor send your face first to the nurse station for dirt. Working my patience, gonna see how all my patience works. Get comfortable, just laying some dirt. Firmament, see how you like it, and if you want it permanent. Nah, psychic and mad, but not the violent type. When I ignite, the mic is my dynamite. Singing silent night, silent like a hot curler. Back burner, keep it on like a pilot light. Priming on the 9 to 5, shining with my diamond mind. Writing my own fine design, signing on the final line. I don't find my diamond, she fine. Keep trying while I'm asleep, I can't keep an eye on every guy that's eyes of the mind. Due to why the question I redeem. I'm speaking my mind on the fire. Piece of the beast on the mind. I'm alive and cheating and I'm in deep and having blue. You never have found. I said I was a pacifist and had the rose toxic. You're not clever enough because I figured that I'll be just killing it with rhymes and fillers. I'm like a hobby. You never outfox me, you better outfox me. I said I was a pacifist and had the rose toxic. You're not clever enough because I figured that I'll be just killing it with rhymes. I'm killing it, really, that's what you're dealing with, yeah. I'm revealing the illegitimate air. Do you ever think about when you're out of here? I'm thinking about getting in there without a care, but I know how to share. I've been through beavers and cubs, tap the eager to thug. Get at me when I'm leaving the club. We can discuss shit. All you dumb kids think you're eating it up. Pardon me for saying please and discuss. I might breathe and catch a breeze in the rush. Sleep on the bus before I give you a good reason to bust. Feeling the seasonal frost, that's just me cooling off. Betting that you'll through the ice, feel the freezing you fall. You sneeze and you cough, but I'm nothing to sniffle at. You make a lot of noise, but don't connect like a wiffle bat. Think you're still a triple bat? That's me in high school. Sucks that you were thrown to that. How do you think you murder rap rhythm? You heard of that? Yes, I'm sure you have. Well, you should be concerned with that. If you ever want to earn a rap and earn respect, well, then I'm burning your rap. And if you're smart, then you'll learn in your set. Before we lay you by the permanent brand on the Terminator X shit. Speaking with the hands until we burn away your flesh of it. Learn to make the best of it. Perpetrate a rest. If you're smart, you'll learn in your set. Burn the best. You never outfox me. You better outfox me. I said I was a pacifist and had to go doxy. You're not clever without me because I figure that I'll be just killing it for rounds to fill the time like a hobby. And you never outfox me. You better outfox me. I said I was a pacifist and had to go doxy. You're not clever without me because I figure that I'll be just killing it with rhymes. You just got your ass kicked trying to play fight a pacifist plus. Don't call the faggot by a gay rights activist in broad daylight. Hey guys, activists, my place for a lesson in this special. You got your ass kicked trying to play by the pacifist. Go call the faggot by a gay rights activist in broad daylight.